All right, Hebrews chapter 11. Look, if you would, starting, just we're just going to read one verse this morning, and then we're going to go in deeper into that passage. But in Hebrews chapter 11, I want you to look at verse 23. It says, "By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment." Let's pray. Father, we thank you again this morning, Father, for your perfect word that you've given us. And Lord, I thank you for the freedoms that we have, Lord, to come to this church today and hold services, Lord. We're not persecuted like the church is in many other places this morning, Lord. In many places around the world, Christians are persecuted for having church and for being Christians. And certainly we're seeing this in our country today, too, in some states. I pray, Lord, that you will intercede in those areas, Lord, that you will just make things right and stop the government's power from reaching into the church house. And Lord, I pray that you'll just watch over those churches, Lord, and give them boldness this morning. I pray that you'll be with those people who are not able to be here today, Lord. Some are nervous about the COVID-19. Others, Lord, just pray that you'll just be with those, Lord, who want to be here, just unable to come. Some are sick, Lord. Some are just not able to come because of illness. I pray, Lord, that whatever the reason, I pray that you'll be with our members this morning who are not here. And Lord, I just pray you'll bless them. I pray that you'll open our ears to your word this morning. And Lord, that you'll speak to our hearts, Lord, as we have come to hear what you have for us. And help us, Lord, to do something about it. When we hear that conviction from you this morning, Lord, help us just to step forward and do what needs to be done. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, in Hebrews chapter 11, you know, when I look out and I see the people here this morning, I know that I'm not looking at a bunch of people who never read their Bible. I'm looking at people who do read their Bible and people who have been in church for a while and people who understand what many of the scriptures are talking about. I mean, we're not talking about a bunch of immature Christians here this morning. We're talking about those who are growing. And I honestly believe that everybody here this morning wants to be a growing Christian. And so when I tell you this morning that Hebrews chapter 11 is what we call the Hall of Faith, where it mentions those heroes of the Bible because of the faith that they had, that is not something that I would expect you to not already know. In fact, not only is this the faith chapter in the Bible, not only does this chapter list all these people who did these things because of their faith, but it also gives you the very definition of faith. In the very first verse, it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Nowhere is faith ever based on sight. Nowhere in your Bible is faith ever based on sight. It's based on evidence of things not seen. And as the faith is the substance of things hoped for. That is the definition of faith. Now in this chapter, we read about the faith of people like Abraham and people like Isaac, people like Jacob. Even you read about the faith of Abel, who was the very first person to die of a homicide in the Bible. Many people who are famous to many Christians, when we think about the most famous people in the Bible, many of those people are mentioned right here in this chapter and are mentioned because of their faith. Some people, when you look at that list, some people may surprise you. Others may not. But today we come to verse 23. And if you don't slow down when you read verse 23, you're going to think that verse 23 is speaking about somebody it's not speaking about. You see, when we read in our text of Hebrews 11, 23, you may, if you read through it quick, may think that it's talking about the faith of Moses. Because it begins by saying, "By faith, Moses." But that verse is not talking about the faith of Moses at all. If you look closely, it's actually talking about the faith of his parents, Amrad and Jochebed. Now, many of you may have heard of them, some of you may not have, but they were the parents of Moses. But their claim to fame was not that they were the parents of Moses. That's not what made them reach this listing here in Hebrews chapter 11. Their claim to fame was not that they were just the parents of a famous man. Their claim to fame was that they believed God. It was their faith that pleased God. And by the way, if you want to please God, you better know how to believe God, because that's what pleases Him. You know, one of the most blunt things I've ever heard is this, a blunt truth, and that is the reason why without faith it's impossible to please God is because if you do not have faith, then you're claiming that God is either erroneous or that he's dishonest. Why? Because what faith is based on is you believing what God said. That's what faith is based on. Hey, if you read here in Hebrews chapter 11 and you start to read about these people who had faith, you know what the one thing that ties them all together is? The fact that they believed God. They believed what God said, and because they believed God, they went and did something. Think about Noah. He believed when God said there's a flood coming. Listen, it was things that he had never seen before. He had never seen a flood. He had never seen it rain. He had never seen, I even saw a puddle of water. But yet, God said, I'm going to flood this earth. And when he said that, Noah moved with fear and he built the ark. Why? He believed God. Because he believed God, he did it. And so, if a person today doesn't have faith, then that's not going to please God. A lack of faith is going to displease God because what you're saying is, I don't believe what you're saying, Lord. I don't believe what you have to say. And so when we study here the faith of Amrad and Jochebed, we see that they were just two ordinary people. I mean, they were just ordinary people who by faith, they did something that was marvelous and wonderful and that is recorded forever in Hebrews chapter 11 in God's Hall of Faith. Now, you say, well, what did they do? Well, I think we all remember the story back in Exodus where the Hebrews had moved to Egypt during the time of Joseph. When you get to the end of Genesis, it talks about how Joseph, after he became Pharaoh's second-hand man, and he was in charge of feeding everybody when there was a famine in the land. We know the story how he got reunited with his brothers and his father, and then they all moved there to Egypt. He was in favor of Pharaoh. He had Pharaoh's favor. He had Egypt's favor. And so they all moved to Egypt. And then many years later, they fell out of favor with Egypt. The children of Israel fell out of favor. In fact, the Bible says that there arose another Pharaoh who knew not Joseph. And those Jews who had been there, living there by their own will, now were slaves in Egypt. And while they were slaves in Egypt, it seems that there was a population explosion amongst the Hebrew children because they started to grow in strength and number, and this made Pharaoh nervous. And so what he decided to do, he sent out a decree to kill all the male babies and cast them into the Nile River that they be drowned. And so Amrad and Jochebed were led of the Lord to do something unusual. They took their little baby boy and they kept him for 3 months. And when they couldn't keep him any longer because little babies have a way of crying, they made a little boat and set that boat in the bulrushes along the Nile River. And the Bible says that the princess, the daughter of Pharaoh, came by that day and heard that baby crying, and her heart was moved with compassion. So she took the baby into her home and had that baby raised by Moses' own mother, who became a nursemaid to that little baby. And eventually, Moses ended up delivering the Hebrews from the land of bondage. We all know the story. I mean, it's something that we're pretty familiar with. But you know, there's more to the story than that. Because there was something that these two ordinary people did that made God list them in the Hall of Faith in Hebrews chapter 11. You see, again, this is not about Moses. At least this verse is not about Moses. It's about the parents of Moses. And we're not talking about the faith of Moses here. We're talking about the faith of Amrad and Jochebed. Just common, ordinary people, but they had faith in God. Now, there are four things that they did that got them recognized for their faith. Four things that were a direct result of them believing the Lord. And I want to show you those four things this morning. The first thing I want to show you is that they understood the will of God. They understood the will of God, and they understood the words of God. Notice in chapter 11, in verse 23, it says, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child. They had an insight into that, you know, some way or somehow it was God who was going to use this little boy of theirs. You see, God had made a promise a long time before Jochebed and Amrad were ever born. Long before that, when the Israels, when even way back in Genesis, Before all this happened, God made a promise. And in fact, hold your place here and turn back to Genesis chapter 15. And I want to show you here what God had already promised, had already prophesied in times past. I mean, we're talking a long time before this ever happened, there where they were slaves in Egypt. In Genesis chapter 15, look if you would what God says to Abraham in verse 13. The Lord says to Abraham, "Know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years." And so Amram and Jochebed, by the time you advance forward over here into the book of Exodus, and now they're slaves in Egypt, Amram and Jochebed, they would have known about this prophecy that God had already given. They believed that prophecy. They would have known when the Israelites have become slaves in this land of the Egyptians. They would have known how long that they've been slaves. And they would have known that, hey, we're coming towards the end of this 400 years. We don't have a whole lot of time left before we're delivered. And so, you know, they had this little boy that was born. They believed the word of God. They had faith in God. And so rather than killing this little child, they put the child inside of a little ark, a little boat, and amongst the bulrushes, and pushes it out there. And so these parents set about to see, to try to make sure that this little Moses becomes a big Moses, and that he had opportunity to be God's man. They had a vision. Now, they could not have had faith until God spoke. In other words, they could have never believed God about that prophecy of the Israelites being in the land of bondage for 400 years. They could have never done anything. They could have never stepped out by faith and did anything until they believed what God had said. And you know, that's the way it really is all the way through the Bible. Listen, there can be no faith unless you believe what God said. In other words, God has to say something. You have to believe it in order to have the faith that he wants you to have. I'll give you an example. When you got saved, we're all saved by faith. Amen? All right. So you say, okay, I'm saved by faith. What does that mean? Well, that means that God said something and you had to believe what he said in order to be saved by faith. God said that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins, and he was buried and rose again the third day. God said that. Amen? Now, here's what you did if you're saved here today, is you believed what God said. You say, okay, God said it, I believe it, and so therefore, I'm saved. Now listen, folks, if you truly have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you truly believe what he said, how many of you understand he says that whosoever trusts in Jesus Christ will have everlasting life? Do you believe that this morning? Listen, that you're saved by faith then. You believe God. If a person today who's saved, all of a sudden they start to doubt their salvation, do you know what they're doing? At that point, then they are only believing partly of what God said. See, they believe the part about being saved, what it takes about being saved, but they don't believe what the Bible says about eternal security over in 1 John chapter 5, over there where it says to have everlasting life, that we have eternal life. See, they choose not to believe that. Somehow in their mind, they get to the point where everlasting doesn't mean everlasting anymore. They don't believe what God said anymore on that. The eternal life doesn't mean eternal anymore. They don't believe God when it comes to that. When it says that no man will be able to pluck him out of my hand, they say, well, I believe a man's saved by trusting Jesus Christ, but I believe, I've heard people say this, they'll say, well, I know no man could pluck you out of Father's hand, but you could sure step out of there yourself. Wait a second, God never said you could do that. Somebody else said you could do that. That's not what God said. You know what you're saying? You're saying, I don't believe when God says that no man will be able to pluck him out of my hand. I just don't believe that. That's called a lack of faith. That's the reason why if it's not a faith, it cannot please God. Because when God says something, you say, I don't believe that. What are you saying? When God says, listen, you're going to have everlasting life. Lord, I just don't believe that. This is going to be blunt, folks. But what you're saying is this. God, you must be lying to me. Or you're saying, God, are you sure you know what you're talking about? When you have a lack of faith, that's what it is. God says something, and you must believe it. That is what's having faith. And that's what pleases God. When God says this is the way it is, and you believe him, hey, as parents, when you tell your kids something and they believe what you say, does that please you? Let's turn it around the other way. Let's say you say something and your kids do not believe you. How does that make you feel? If you said today, Junior, if you take If you step out in the road, you might get run over by a car. And then the junior looks at you and goes, I don't believe that, Dad. I don't believe it for a minute. Wouldn't you just be a little bit irritated about that? You see, you got to believe what the Lord says. Your father says something, and then you believe it. That's faith. That pleases him. That's what Jochebed did. That's what Amrad did. They believed what God said. You know what the Bible says in Romans 10:17? It says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And you keep on reading, how shall they hear without a preacher? You know what that preacher is supposed to be preaching? The word of God. How does that faith grow? How does that faith come? You believing what's being preached. And so that's what faith is. It's the evidence of things not seen. It's a response to the revealed will of God. It's those things, the response of what he has said. The Bible says that God is the author and the finisher of our faith. He puts the object of faith out there. And then he puts the faith in our heart to believe him concerning that object. But it's us who must choose whether to believe or not believe. The Bible says it's by faith that they saw Moses as a proper child. They exercised faith in spite of all the difficulty that was going on, in spite of all the circumstances that was going on in Egypt that time, despite the fact that they were killing young baby boys, and it seemed so horrible that they still, by faith, they did something. They didn't care about the circumstances. Here were parents who had heard the word of God, they understood the will of God, and they saw Moses as a proper child. But then I want you to notice the second thing is that not only did they recognize the truth of the word of God and they understood what the will of God was, but they didn't just stop there. It wasn't enough just to say, well, you know, God said he'd deliver us in 400 years. And, you know, it's about 320 years right now. And so God ought to be delivering us pretty soon. Well, I sure hope he does something. They didn't just stop and just had that attitude. No, they did something because they believed God. The Bible says this. Look there in our text again. It says, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents. They put their faith into action. Do you realize that that's the reason why they're even mentioned here in the chapter of faith? Listen, they're mentioned because they believed God, but they're mentioned because they did something. In other words, it's not just those who believed. If it was just those who believed, everybody would be mentioned. Every single believer today would be mentioned somewhere. The believers in the Old Testament would be mentioned there somewhere. But some of them did miraculous things by the power of God because they believed God. They actually did something besides just sitting there and saying, well, I believe it to be true. No, they did something because of it. That's the way it always is. I mean, James chapter 2, verse 17, it says this. Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. I'm not telling you this morning that works has anything to do with your salvation because it doesn't. It never has. It never will. It's always by faith. It's always by believing God. In the Old Testament, before there was a law, it says that Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. You can't find anywhere in that Bible where anybody's works was accounted unto him for righteousness. Here's what you do find out, however. You do find out that our works are as what? Filthy rags. That's what you do find out. But with Abraham, what was counted unto him righteous? His faith. He believed God. It was the same way with David. He said, bless the man who God has imputed righteousness. And so these people here, it wasn't works that saved them, but because they believed God, they stepped out and did something. And that's what you see all the way through Hebrews chapter 11. They stepped out and did something because of their faith. Now, when you look through here, you see different examples of this. I'll give you an example. Look at verse 7 in our text, Hebrews chapter 11. It says, by faith, Noah. What did Noah do? Well, it says here, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. What's faith? The subject of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And it says here, by faith, being warned of God, that's God speaking. He said something. God said something. Of things not yet seen, what did he do? Moved with fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his house. Here's the point. Why did he build that ark? Because God said, I'm going to flood this earth. God warned him, I'm going to flood this earth. Noah had never seen any of these things. He had never seen it rain. He'd never seen water. He had never even heard of a flood. He probably had to go look it up in the Webster's Dictionary what a flood was. He had no idea what the flood was. And so what he did, he said, you know what? God said it. It must be true. So I guess, listen, if God says he's going to flood the earth, I don't know what a flood is, but I tell you this, I better start building a boat. He built a boat because he believed God. Do you realize if he had been like a lot of Christians today, you know what he'd have done? He'd say, well, God said it must be true. Amen. And then never build that ark. Well, it's good enough just to believe God, right? It is when it comes to salvation, but it isn't when it comes to getting God's providence, when it comes to getting God's blessing, when it comes to earning rewards, when it comes to glorifying God. When it comes to those things, it's just believing is not enough. When it comes to salvation, it is, but not when it comes to those things. What I'm trying to say is this. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and he believed God. But if he said, I believe it is true, and they didn't do anything, do you realize that he and his family would have died in that flood? He had to step out and do something that showed that he believed God. Not for salvation, but it showed that he believed God. And I'm just going to tell you that that is something that I see in Christianity today. And these last days that the Bible calls the Laodicean church age, where Christians are lukewarm, the thing I see is this. There are so many Christians today who are just satisfied with the fact that they're saved, they believe the gospel, and they're going to heaven, and then that's it. They don't do anything else. You say, I don't believe that, Pastor. Then you need to get out more. Because when I go out and I knock on doors and I put stuff on people's doors, when I walk up there, especially in days like today, here's what I see. If I walk up to just a general door, somebody's door today, somewhere's downtown, I walk up there, sometimes I knock, sometimes I talk to them, sometimes I just hang the thing on their door. These days, with COVID around, people are more receptive to just putting on the door. That way they can read it themselves. They don't really want people to invite them in too much. So what you have, when I walk up the door, here's what I see. I see, vote for this guy. Vote for that guy. I see that stuff hanging there. Sometimes I see stuff from the Jehovah's Witnesses hanging on there. Sometimes I see stuff from the Mormons hanging on there. But you know what I don't see? I don't see a whole lot of stuff from Christians. I just don't see it. I don't see any evidence that there's a whole lot of Christians in this town that's doing anything for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, listen, I know I'm preaching to the choir here this morning. I know you listen, you're in church this morning, and I'm thankful for that. You're faithful. You're coming here. That's amen. But you realize that there are Christians today who are just satisfied that being saved is enough. That's all. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. Going to heaven. Oh, yes, I'm going to heaven, Pastor. Well, are you serving the Lord? Well, I know I need to serve the Lord more. No, wait a second. Do you believe what God said? You do believe what God said about what happens to a person if they do not receive Jesus Christ. Here's what he said. He says, "For that those who do not believe in Jesus Christ are condemned already." Now, if you have faith and you believe what God said, you know what you're going to do? You're going to get up and do something. You're going to go out and tell those people the gospel that you might save a few of them. Not that you can save them. The Lord's going to save them. But we're to plant the seed and water the seed and pray that these people get saved. You're going to get up and do something, because to you, if you really had faith in God, being saved is not enough when it comes to glorifying Him. Being saved is not enough. Listen, He wants you to be not hearers only, but doers of the Word of God. Yes, just believing Him will get you to heaven, but we must do something. If we're going to be people of faith, we got to act on what we know, act on what we believe. And that's exactly what Noah did. That's exactly what all those people did in Hebrews chapter 11. And that's exactly what Amrad and Jochebed did, is they believed what God said. And they did something about it. They didn't just sit there and say, well, the Lord said he'll deliver us, and then do nothing. You know what they did? They took their little boy and put him inside that boat amongst the bulrushes and pushed it out there. They acted according to what they believed. They acted according to their faith. But you know, when you see here in Hebrews chapter 11, it's not just in Hebrews chapter 11 that you see this principle. You see this principle all the way through the scriptures. If you remember Peter, you know, he was him and the disciples were out there on the boat, and the storm was coming, and all of a sudden they look, they see Jesus walking across the water towards them. And all of a sudden, Peter stands up, he gets out of the boat. Again, we're always hard on Peter because he's the rugged man. He's the guy who always sticks his foot in his mouth. He's the guy always bragging about things. He's always saying that he's going to do this and he's going to do that, but he always fails. Tell you the truth, Peter kind of reminds us of all of us. Amen. We're going to do great things for the Lord, and we're going to live by faith, but boy, we fail a lot. So we're kind of hard on Peter. I will tell you, if you're going to be hard on Peter, don't choose the passage where it talks about him walking on water to be hard on him, because he's the only man who got out of the boat. You want to talk about people who didn't have faith? You can't say Peter didn't, at least there for a little bit. No, everybody else is too scared. I can just imagine when the Lord walked out of there and Peter goes, I wonder if I can do that. And he goes, what do you think, fellas? You think we can do that? Don't you know there's other disciples saying, boy, you know, I got an appointment. They're thinking of anything they can think of rather than actually getting out of the boat. And they're saying, I don't know about that. I don't think only Jesus can do that. And then finally, Peter, he actually steps out of the boat. He stands on the water. He's looking at the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he's focusing on the Lord Jesus Christ, at that point, he knows this. He's the Son of God. He can do anything. He can even tell the weather to be calm, and he can make the dead rise from the dead. He can make the lame to walk. He can make the blind to see. He can do anything. That's Jesus. He can do anything. And all of a sudden, he's walking on water. Why? He believes the Lord. He believes what the Lord said. He believed what God said about his Son. He's walking by faith, the evidence of things not seen. But all of a sudden, he takes his vision away from the Lord, and he starts to look at the storm and the waves and the sea and the rain and all those things. And what happens? He starts to doubt the Lord. He starts to doubt what God had already said about his Son. He starts to doubt that Jesus Christ is the Son of God like he claimed, like he said he was. He starts to have doubts in what God said. And what happens? He starts to sink in that water. And then pretty soon he cries out the one thing that every unsaved person ought to cry out. He cries out and says, Lord, save me. You know what happened? You say, he had a lack of faith. Well, yeah, all the disciples did. That's the reason the Lord kept on saying, oh, ye a little faith. He said it all the time. What did he do? He started to doubt what the Lord said. Listen, folks, if you have faith, you're going to step out and do something. If you have the faith that God wants you to, I'm not talking about saving faith. I'm talking about the faith that we're supposed to have as Christians today. If you have the faith that God wants you to have today, then you're going to step out and do something. You may, listen, if the truth is, the truth of the matter is this, if you had the faith you're supposed to have, you could walk on water too. But who has that kind of faith? Let me tell you how little faith we actually have. When the Lord says, if you had the faith the size of a mustard seed, you could tell this mountain to move and it would move. You ever looked at a mustard seed? That says a whole lot about our faith, doesn't it? Anybody move a mountain lately? We don't have the faith that we should have. None of us do. But the faith that we're supposed to have is the faith that will say, just being saved is not enough. I'm going to trust the Lord not only with my soul. I'm going to trust him with my finances. I'm going to trust him with the goings-on in this world, with the lawlessness in the streets and the upcoming election. I'm going to trust him when I start my truck in the morning or my car in the morning. I'm going to trust him that it's going to start. That's faith, stepping out and doing something, believing what the Lord said. That's what Jochebed did. That's what Amrab did. They didn't just say, just believing God's enough. No, we need to do something. And so they took Moses and they put him in that little ark and pushed him amongst the bulrushes. And then the last thing I want you to see is this, is not only did Amram and Jochebed understand the word of God and the will of God, not only did they do the will of God and didn't just say believing is enough, but I want you to notice that because of their faith, they were greatly blessed. They were greatly blessed with victory. And what I mean by that is God honored their faith. Now I'm just going to tell you that God has always honored the faith of people in that Bible. A person who did something by faith, God honored them. In fact, in Hebrews chapter 11, what you're seeing is God honoring people because of their faith. God blesses people because of their faith. If you want to be blessed, show your faith in the Lord in everything you do, and God will bless you for it. Now, I'll show you. Turn back, if you would, to Exodus chapter 2, because in Exodus chapter 2, I'm going to show you exactly everything that happened here, and then I'm going to show you just how much God blessed Amram and Jochebed because of their faith that they had. In Exodus chapter 2, I'll wait till everybody gets there, but in Exodus chapter 2, look, if you would, at verse 1. It says, "And there went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. That man is Amred. The wife is Jochebed. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein. And she laid it in the flags of the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off, to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept, and she had compassion on him, and said, 'This is one of the Hebrews' children.' Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, 'Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?' Pharaoh's daughter said to her, 'Go.' And the maid went and called the child's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, 'Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages.' And the woman took the child and nursed it." Question: do you think it was by chance that the daughter of the Pharaoh just happened to be in the water that morning and washing herself? No, that wasn't by chance. That was God's providence. God made that all possible. It was God who made it all possible that the Pharaoh's daughter would be there at a certain time there in the water. God set the whole thing up. And so not only was the baby Moses made safe from being killed by Pharaoh's decree, but now he's being placed in the care of the daughter of Pharaoh herself. And Jochebed is allowed to nurse and raise Moses, her own son, as a baby, and she's getting paid for it. Now you think about this. She's a slave. But because they acted in faith, because by faith they didn't fear the king. They didn't fear Pharaoh. Instead, they feared God. They believed God. And by faith, they put Moses in that little boat, that little ark. And when he did that, they acted by faith. And because of that, God honored that faith and blessed their faith so much that she's able to raise that little baby and get paid for it. Not only that, but Moses' room, his board, his lodging, even his education was all taken care of. Acts chapter 7, verse 22, it says, "And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and in deeds." Everything was taken care of. That wasn't by chance. That was the providence of God. But the blessings of God doesn't stop there. Moses was spared from ever being a slave in Egypt. He never once was a slave in Egypt. And he ended up being greatly used of God to deliver all the children out of Israel. Their son was the one that God used to deliver a nation. And may I remind you this morning that faith is something that God honors. God honors faith because faith pleases God. But I want you to see here is this. Look back at Hebrews chapter 11 and look at verse 24. The Bible says concerning this little baby whose life was spared, it says, "By faith Moses, when he was come to years." Now notice how it swapped from talking about Moses' parents, now it's talking about Moses himself. It says, "By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible." Just the same way that Amrad and Jochebed did not fear the king's decree and spared Moses and put him in that boat, now Moses, notice he doesn't fear man either. He fears God. Wonder where he learned that from. Think about how happy those parents must have been. Can you imagine? There's Moses, you know, he's leading the children of Israel out of Egypt. And there he is as he's leading, and all of a sudden he takes that staff and he holds it across the Red Sea, and God parts the Red Sea. Don't you know that Amrad and Jochebed are back there saying, "Boy, that's my son. That's my boy. Sure, I'm glad we believed God on this. Sure, I'm glad that we spared this young man. Sure, I'm glad that we did what God wanted us to do." You see, they acted on what they believed. They acted on what God said, and because of that, God blessed them. And their son was used greatly of God. Their son was never a slave. Their son chose not to enjoy sin for a season with them, but instead chose to be with the people of God. What I'm trying to say is this, folks. If you will believe what God says and do what he says, you are going to receive blessings. One of the greatest blessings I have is the fact that my kids are in church. My kids are saved. I have a son in Oklahoma City. He goes to church. He's 25 years old. You know, what more could you ask? Now, I'm not saying that our kids are always going to turn out perfect. I'm not saying that. But I am saying this, is if you do what God tells you to do in that Bible, if you read what he says and believe it and do what he tells you to do, you are going to get great blessings and things are going to work out a whole lot better for you than what they would if you don't believe God and you don't do what he tells you to do. And what I'm trying to say is this, is that if you will raise your children the way God says to raise your children and do what you're supposed to be doing, you're giving them the best shot that they have of knowing who God is, the best shot they have of receiving Jesus Christ if you'll do it the way God tells you to do it. But so many Christians today, they don't do what the Bible tells them to do and they're missing out on the blessings. Because they won't do what God tells them to do. They say, well, just being saved is enough. I'll give you an example. One of the greatest things that you will ever do as a Christian is lead somebody else to the Lord. Hands down, not even close. If you want something that's going to get you fired up on the inside, something that's going to make you just overrun with joy, and you just have this your cup runneth over. If you want to enjoy, if you want to see something like that, if you want the blessing of seeing somebody get saved, then you can't be the one who just sits back and say, well, I believe that's good enough and I don't need anything more than that. I'm going to heaven. No, you've got to believe what God said and go out there and do something. You've got to believe that God said that they're condemned already. You go out and tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you do that, you know what you're going to see? You're going to see that every once in a while, there's going to be that one person who recognizes that they're a sinner. That person is going to be broken. And then all of a sudden you tell them about the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and how he died on the cross for their sins and how they can have everlasting life and how they don't have to worry about going to heaven or going to hell if they will just do what God told them to do, and you give them the gospel. And then all of a sudden, you see that broken person bow their head and you see them start to cry out to the Lord for salvation. And all of a sudden, they get done, they look up at you and you ask them the question, did you believe, did you put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? And they say, yes, I did. And you believe that he paid for your sins on the cross of Calvary? And he says, yes, I believe that. And then all of a sudden, you see that light in their eye. And you see that relief that your sins have been forgiven. You want to talk about a blessing? Folks, it don't get any better than that. And it doesn't stop there. Can you imagine how it's going to be when you get to heaven one of these days? And you look at that person and you say, I remember the day you got saved. And that person's sitting there rejoicing with you and they're in heaven forever. Because of, not that you saved them, but because you believed God enough to actually step out and do something and tell somebody about the Lord Jesus Christ. You're going to get blessings for that. But if you choose just to be satisfied with just believing the gospel and you say, well, I believe I'm going to heaven, it's good enough for me. You'd be surprised how many Christians actually feel that way today. How do you know, Pastor? Because, well, I believe that part of the reason that we are where we are in this country is because you have a bunch of Christians who are just satisfied that they're going to go to heaven and they don't get out and do anything. I don't see Christians always writing their congressmen. I don't see Christians always taking a stand against the evils of this world. I don't see Christians taking a stand. Listen, folks, when you start to see the evil starting to be taken over, it's because somebody isn't standing up and saying something. Where are the Christians at? You mean to tell me as many churches we have in Great Falls, man, we only got like, 55,000 people in this town? And these churches have been here for like 30 years? And you mean to tell me that there are still people in this town who don't know who Jesus Christ is, and there are people in this town who never even received the gospel, or never heard the gospel before? What are the Christians doing? I'll tell you what they're doing. They're saying, you know, I'm satisfied, I'm going to heaven, I'm going to show up to church every day, I'm going to get my blessing, I'm going to go home, and that's it. And they never do a thing for the Lord. That's not Amrad and Jochebed. That's not Noah. That's not Moses. That wasn't Abraham. These people believed the Lord. They had faith, and they didn't just stop there. They did something. So I'm going to ask you this morning, are you like the average Christian in this world today, to where you're just satisfied? And listen, if you're saved here this morning, amen, glory to God, I am glad you're saved. I'm glad you're going to be in heaven. That's wonderful. Because I will tell you this, once you have received Jesus Christ, God does not lie. He does not break his promise. You are going to be in heaven. Amen. But as Christians, you're supposed to continue to grow in faith. Your faith will continue to grow. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And how shall they hear without a preacher? You're supposed to be being edified. You're supposed to be the perfecting of the saints and growing in the Lord. And the more you grow, the more you should be bold to go out and do something for the Lord as your faith grows. But there are Christians today who just, they don't do anything. Is that you? Do you have the faith that God wants you to have? The Bible says, be not hearers only, but doers of the word of God. Is that you? Or are you just satisfied that you're going to heaven this morning? Let's stand.